My older son lives in Indianapolis, very near to the downtown. In Indianapolis, like in many other cities, there are electric scooters that are taking over, and every once in a while in front of his place on the sidewalk, he will find one of those electric scooters that people use to commute between downtown and their homes. They are ubiquitous in Indianapolis. You can find them on every street corner, every block that there is. In fact, St. Paul, I understand, lost one of their bike ride-sharing programs this spring in favor of the electric scooters. My son says they're just a great thing to be able to get on and go to a quick lunch or to pick up or drop something off. Now, this isn't one of those scooters, but it's a close cousin. The scooters are those things that are long and have that handle that one can hang on to. Maybe I wish I had a handle today. I don't know. About a month ago, a reporter from Roanoke, Virginia, wrote about the e-scooters in his town. He wrote that reporters love these scooters because of their sometimes exploding lithium-ion batteries, the fact that they break up sometimes in the middle of the use, and users who go fast down hills and then hit the brakes too suddenly. He believes that this will be a great boon for the major employer in town, a medical clinic. So evidently, before you can rent one of these scooters, you have to sign an electronic waiver on your smartphone. That waiver is 39 pages long, single-spaced. Now, I'm sure people read that waiver before they get on one of these little Hummers and go off to lunch. A personal injury lawyer in Roanoke has read that waiver. He said, "I'd never sign one of those before I rented one of these." Well, what a killjoy. Evidently, it's also legal to drive one of these babies drunk because they have not designated e-scooters as a motorized vehicle. The city attorney says that could change very soon. I mean, they take away all of our fun. I mean, pretty soon, they're going to make sure that Bethel won't allow Segways in church. We've had two distinct gospels in our readings for today. The first one was just all fun. Palms, kids, people yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Don't discount that too fast. Welcoming the Son of David in that day would be the equivalent of our welcoming back Jesus Christ for his second coming. That is a big deal. It is a very big deal. Everybody was praising God, and yeah, not everybody. The Pharisees wanted Jesus to shut the people up, but Jesus said, if these people were quiet, the very stones would cry out. Well, you've seen that kind of excitement on television, if nowhere else. Welcoming back the Virginia Cavaliers or the Baylor Lady Bears after having won national basketball championships. A town welcoming back their Super Bowl victors. People gathered in an arena to hear their favorite band. This is great stuff. But then there's always a killjoy. And in our readings for today, it is Jesus who is the killjoy. Right now, we are accurate in our historical rendering of Jesus' life. Today, a Sunday, equivalent to the Sunday that Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Thursday will accurately depict the Last Supper and the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friday will be Friday at Golgotha, and then the next Sunday. Now, in these intervening days, Sunday to Thursday, Jesus could have ridden his popularity from Palm Sunday and gotten a great many more likes on his Facebook and Instagram accounts. But the cheers for Jesus did not last long. Immediately after declaring that the very stones would cry out if the people didn't, Jesus weeps for Jerusalem. Jesus accurately foresees a time that Jerusalem is going to be utterly destroyed as it has been destroyed in the past. He says that the people are not prepared for this particular visitation by God, even though they have been welcoming the Son of David. And he weeps. It gets worse. Jesus goes into the temple, the holiest place for all of God's people. Now, if you have seen this on TV or come to Bethel's depiction of the last days of Jesus, you have seen Jesus' righteous anger as he throws over merchants' tables and the money changer tables. Well, that's going to put a damper on the celebration. All these people who have come to Jerusalem from near and far for the festivities, and here's this Jesus making a mess. It gets worse. Every day in these days now through Thursday, Jesus shows up at the temple to teach and to preach. Seems like it's going all right, except for the fact that the leaders of the synagogue, the leaders of the people, are still trying to find a way to kill Jesus. This stuff is crazy. We have just had a ticker tape parade for a hero, and somehow that hero weeps for the people. He rages in the temple, and the leaders are trying to kill him. We have such a dichotomy on Passion and Palm Sunday. We have celebration and we have tears. We have Jesus humbly riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and that same Jesus raging in the temple. But maybe most markedly, we have a people who are just confused. Initially, it seems they know what they are getting. They shout hosannas to the King of Israel, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David, even the Messiah. But that doesn't last long. Jesus recognizes that these people do not recognize how it is that God is visiting them in his form, the form of the Messiah. And he weeps. 2,000 years later, people still seem to be confused as to who Jesus is in our lives. Oh, we can talk a good game. We can even show up for church once in a while. We can sing and cheer with the rest of them. But as soon as we get done with that, as soon as we leave the Palm Sunday parade, we forget about Jesus. Jesus doesn't govern our lives. Wall Street governs our lives. Our employers govern our lives. Our very busy schedules govern our lives. We contain Jesus into a couple of nice hours on a Sunday morning. Jesus has news for us. He is not to be contained in 2 hours on a Sunday morning. He says we need to recognize God's visitation in our lives right now. And that can be any and every moment in our lives. And it is not always easy or comfortable to recognize that visitation of Jesus. Jesus is the killjoy in that way. Jesus says sometimes that's a lonely journey. And there are times in which one needs to deny oneself and pick up a cross. Well, we have one who willingly picked up a cross for us. It's coming soon, very soon. Amen.